for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, February the 21st, 1998. Ladies, conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffee of Tennessee is the speaker of the afternoon.
Coffee with us, and most of you, many of you know her. She and her husband, pastor, over a little church. I shouldn't say a little church. I don't know if you want a big church or not. By faith, if you want a big church, we by faith speak it to you. I know a lot about little churches. but anyway, she's going to come and begin to minister to her, to you, what's on her heart. And so I think we should just give her a greeting, okay? Bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord. She's right. It is a little church now. We find that deliverance sometimes will divide. Sometimes it subtracts. And other times it multiplies. So, praise the Lord. Whatever the Lord wants is fine, you know. I'm going to move some of this for a few minutes. Praise the Lord. Well, after the service we had this morning, it's real hard to get up and take the deliverance. But that's my job. The Lord has really laid a lot of things on my heart. And Linda was asking me yesterday what I was going to share. And I said, well, I'd like to share something else. But this is what the Lord gave me. And I'm going to share this afternoon on curses that bring death. How many here has never been in deliverance? Everyone been in deliverance of some kind? Well, glory. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Okay, you're going to be in it this afternoon, all right? Just, you know, we have people say, people get in fear when you go calling out spirits. But, you know, if you know who you are in Jesus, you should never be afraid of a demon. And what you, Melanie was talking about just now about Satan is under our feet. He is. But you got to put him there. My husband was sharing and talking in our church the other day on, you know, Jesus defeated Satan on the cross, and we know that. He destroyed the works of darkness.
Amen.
But he did it for you and I. And if we want to walk as overcomers, we have to destroy his work in our lives. And so he was going on. We have a lady in our church. I'm going to get to this in a little bit in a scripture, but since I started, I'm going to finish sharing about it. We had a lady in our church that had an abortion years ago. And, you know, she was of this group that walked today and think nothing about an abortion. Yeah. That's okay. This is my body, blah, blah, blah. But when she came into our church and we began to minister deliverance to her, she had been abused as a child. And so to make a long story short, she had, when she started receiving deliverance, her attitude was, when I said, you must forgive to receive deliverance. You must not hold unforgiveness in your heart over anything. Because Jesus forgave you everything you ever did. And she said, I forgave everything and everybody. And that's the attitude a lot of people have when it comes to forgiveness. But there comes time when you have to be specific about your forgiving. And so when my husband taught on this in the church that night, she came up to me afterwards and she was just crying because he had said, Jesus forgave you your sins and when he defeated the devil. But he says the penalty of what you did will come forth if you don't take care of it in your children. He said, you know, Satan is defeated, and he has not been put in hell yet, in the lake of fire, but he will be. That's where he's going. And the sentence will be carried out when the Lord comes and does it. But in the meantime, we have to work on him against him about the things he has done to us. Jesus has forgiven us at the cross. He took every sin to the cross. He saved everyone in the world on the cross. He healed everyone in the world. But everyone in the world is not walking in salvation. Everyone is not walking in healing. You have to appropriate it. And so I want to go into this afternoon on some of the curses that we need to take care of in our lives. And maybe you already have, but maybe you need to look at them again. If you haven't, you need to go back. And so I'm going to start with Jeremiah this afternoon, Jeremiah chapter 32. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness to us and your mercy and your grace. I thank you, Father, for the word that teaches us how to walk and how to live and how to become overcomers. Father, I just thank you for Jesus and all that he did upon the cross. And now, Father, as we minister the word this afternoon, I ask you to give us hearing ears, seeing eyes, and an understanding heart. Lord, let the word become a reality within us, not just in our minds, but in our hearts, that it might produce fruit in our life. In Jesus' name, and we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Jeremiah chapter 32. I think we sing this a lot in our church, verse 17, and I think we've sang it here. I'm not sure. I know we do it at camp meeting. And Scripture says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompense the iniquities of the fathers into the bosom of the children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in works. In work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." See, we are under sins from our forefathers, and the fruit of their sin is coming forth in our lives today unless we take care of them. And the thing that I'm very interested in getting across to people now is the sins in your life and mine are going to bear fruit in our children unless we take care of them. Because we are walking under the curses from the sins of our fathers, our forefathers. And we want to take care of them. You know, in Ephesians, and I've got that scripture, and I may read it later, but the scripture says, "What you sow, you're going to reap. So be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." And a lot of us have sown a lot of things that we need to take care of. We need to dig those seed up and destroy them so they won't bear fruit. And because we... Shirley was talking this morning about coming through the charismatic, which was, that's where I received the baptism, was I came out of a Baptist background. If you don't think it was hard going into becoming a preacher coming from that background, but when you know that the Lord has called you, you obey the Lord and not man. And we're told, you know, we walked in this and just enjoyed the Spirit of the Lord, and I love the praise and worship. And if you're going to be in deliverance, I do deliverance, you need praise and worship. You need to turn loose, because nothing will restore your strength after you're tired and worn out as praise will. And so, but we didn't know anything about deliverance. And so since we've got such a mixture to have here today, I hope that you'll bear with me. But I want you to know that we need to look at some of the things we've taken for granted. Like I said, the girl said she asked the Lord to forgive her all her sins, everything she had done. But when she saw the reality of that abortion in her life, she came to me weeping. See, God granted her a spirit of repentance. And she repented of taking the life of that baby. And then she could receive healing from it and deliverance from it. But we had been just said, you know, everything was taken care of at the cross. And it is taken care of. And I'm not by no means saying it wasn't. But I'm saying you have to appropriate it. Just like you God doesn't have grandchildren. You couldn't be a child of God just because your mother or father were Christians. You had to receive it. And it's the same way with receiving deliverance and forgiveness and everything that we get from God. We've got to receive it for ourselves. And one of the things that the Lord is really dealing with me about now is that I can only walk my walk. I cannot walk anyone else's. I cannot make my children walk like I want them to. I cannot make my husband do like I want him to. Thank God he walks with me. I praise God for that. He would be with me if this wasn't a woman's meeting. But we have to walk our walk. And when we walk the way God wants us to walk, he'll bring our families in. So, and here, as God says, he said, great in counsel, in verse 19, and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Now go to Lamentations in chapter 3. I wanted to give you just a few scriptures in this area in case some of you have never dealt with the sins of the fathers. I tell people in our church that say, you know, we're under so much tradition and we worship our ancestors. We do. We won't admit it, but we do. I had the greatest mother or the greatest father in the world. We are to love and honor our father and mother, but we're not to put them before God. We're not to put our children before God. And so we need to come away from those traditions of saying, Lord, they're your responsibility. They're your children. You deal with them. He lent them to us, but he didn't tell us. He said, train them up in the way they should go, and when they're old, they should not depart from them. I was sharing back there with a lady just now. We were talking about children today. Some of the children today that are killing their parents or killing one another, and they have no conscience. And this is, to me, is so tragic because I see children being born, and now a lot of you are not going to agree with this one, okay? I'm going to say it anyway, without a soul. With very little bit of a soul, if any, because of the sins of the mother and the father, of how they were conceived. They were conceived many in lust and not in love. And so we need to pray for those kids that God will restore their soul and protect them until they get their soul back and they can come to know Jesus. And this is why, as the body of Christ, we need to know the weapons of our warfare, that they're not carnal, they're mighty through God to pulling down strongholds and the authority that God has given unto each one of us. But sometimes we get lazy and sometimes we compromise. It's hard sometimes to stand on what the Word is saying in every area of your life. But let me tell you, if you really want to be women of God and walk close with the Lord, we have to obey the Word. And I get this all the time, well, I'm not under the law. But my Bible says the law points up sin in my life. And if you remember Jesus, when he was ministering to the young man that was born blind, they asked him, said, Lord, did he sin or his parents sin? Well, he was born blind, so he couldn't have sinned and caused that. So they were saying, is this the sins of the fathers? Of course, Jesus said, this is to bring glory and honor to God. But it will show you that even in when Jesus' day, they were walking and talking about this, about the sins of the fathers that have come forth in upon God's children. In Lamentations in chapter 3 and verse 6, 64. Long way from six. It says, render unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the works of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. Have you ever seen people that just look really unhappy all the time and just look, I mean, just really miserable? Well, this scripture tells me here, he said, give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. Well, a curse is working upon them of some kind. And sorrow of heart is a result of a curse. Heart sorrow. And he said, persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord. So he tells us here, he said, render unto them according to them a recompense, O Lord. And that word recompense, it says, make good repay in return for something done. I looked it up in my concordance. I knew what it meant, but when I shared this in our church, I said, even the concordance tells you that you're going to be repaid for what you do. when the lady came to me about the abortion, I said, you know, God doesn't have payday at the end of the week. There's always a payday. God forgives us our sins. And I said, now, until you repent, if you're repenting of this abortion, and you're coming out from under it, now you pray over your children that it will not bear fruit in your children's life. So if you don't take care of it, it will come forth. And I'll tell you this, on incest, I see this happening on incest all the time, where people have been abused by their fathers or some member of family or some friend or someone. If it isn't taken care of, it is if the sin isn't taken care of and forgiveness coming forth, then 9 times out of 10, the children are going to have the same thing happen to them. I have seen it over and over again with people that say, well, I'm saved and I'm blood-bought and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, I am too. But the devil still attacks. And I said, you need to take care of this. And the hardest thing I find with women is to forgive the abuser. But God says you have to. Because most people think when you forgive someone, you're saying what they did to me was okay. But that's not right. What you're saying is, God says in His Word over in Matthew 18, He says, if you don't forgive, that you'll be turned over to the tormentors. And so if you've got to free yourself from the abuser. And you do it by forgiving them. Him, her, how many, whatever. And I find girls telling me, I can't. And when they tell me that, I said, what I'm hearing is they're saying, I won't. Because forgiveness is not a feeling. It's an act of your will. And you forgive because the Word tells you, you must. And there are a lot of people right here in this group today that have been abused, and they're having a real hard time forgiving. There's other abuses other than sexual abuse, too, girls. There's mental abuse. A lot of women have been abused mentally by their husbands, afraid of them, afraid they'll upset them. And it works on them till they become so afraid that they just literally become enslaved to their husbands. And God doesn't mean for us to walk like that. And then there's spiritual abuse. Many have been abused by pastors, and you need to forgive them. Because if you don't forgive, you can't get free from the abuse and the torment that has come upon you. And there are tormentors, because the Word calls them, tells you there in Matthew 18, the last two verses of it, that the tormentors, you'll be turned over to the tormentors, and they torment the minds. They torment, they bring in hate, they bring in unforgiveness, they bring in bitterness and resentment, and many times, I have a lady I dealt with in the church, she's in her 60s, and she couldn't remember what happened to her in the past as a child, and she still hasn't remembered all of it. But somewhere in her background, she was abused, and I don't know who did it and don't care. But she's not able to remember. She's not able to feel the presence of the Lord. She just knows that something happened, and she doesn't know what it was. And she said, I have no feelings. I can't feel. I can't love. I can't receive love. And I said, well, whether you remember it or not, if you'll go on and forgive whoever hurt you, I don't know who it was, but she's so bound, and she will not do it. She said, I'm okay. But I know the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, abuse, and He didn't tell me what kind of abuse. He just said abuse. When she was a child, and when she was abused, she closed the door on feelings. She was hurt so bad. And so today she can't give or receive love. She's married to her husband. Her been married for years, and she sleeps in one room and he sleeps in another. And that's not God. So it's so essential to forgive. And while I'm on forgiveness, let me give you another thing you need to do. You need to forgive your children, your husbands, or whoever for disappointing you. You know, we have great expectations for our kids. We want them to, you know, be perfect. And every time they disappoint us, we take it personally and get hurt from it. And I'm speaking from experience because I know. And I had forgiven my son for everything I could think of. I mean, you know, he just really, anyways, it was terrible. And I said, Lord, why can't I get free from this? It seems like my every thought was on him, you know. And I was hearing all these things he had done and all the things he was doing and all of this. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and he said, forgive him for disappointing you. Said, you've forgiven him for hurting you, but all of your expectations of him were dashed. And he said, forgive him, go back and forgive him for every time he disappointed you, every time he lied to you. This is as an adult I'm talking about. My son's 52 years old, my oldest one. And he moved next door to me, which made it really bad because I was... And it was hard. But when the Lord spoke to me and I began to say, Father, I forgive him for disappointing me in this and disappointing me here. And I forgive him that he's not loving his child like he should. He's selfish. You know, I was just telling God all about him. Well, God knew anyways. And you know, when I turned him loose and when I did all this, when I really forgave him for disappointing me, well, then he began to change. He was at my house this week, Wednesday, and he came in. He did not look the same. And I said to him, son, I told him what I had done. And this was last fall around Christmas, before Christmas, that I did this. And I said, son, I am real proud of you. He started to cry, and he said, Mother, I'm so glad to hear you say that. I've never heard you say that before. Right. And the Lord is just doing tremendous things in him. And I tell you, it freed me from him. I could turn him loose. And if he doesn't call me, that's fine. I know he's okay. You know how we get anxious sometimes if we don't hear? Well, when you do this, when you really forgive and loosen to the Lord, then you get free. And they get free from you. And God can work in them. See, as long as we don't forgive, we're bound to them. And when we forgive them, God can work in them, and he can work in us. But I find that the girls that I minister to feel like when I say, you've got to forgive, and they'll say, you don't know what they did. I said, doesn't matter. It matters that you forgive, because when you came to Jesus, God forgave you everything you ever did. And I said, you must forgive. So to receive deliverance this afternoon, if there's someone that you are holding unforgiveness against, you must forgive them. And I want to touch on this afternoon some of the curses, as I said, that bring death upon us. And I want to go to Exodus and chapter 22. I hear very few people talk about witches and witchcraft, and I wanted to share some of this in this area of what God says about it. I hear people say, well, witchcraft is control. Witchcraft is this and witchcraft is that. Witchcraft is of the devil. And the Bible, Scripture tells us in this Scripture that right here, verse 22, verse 18 of chapter 22, it says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. So if you see that, what is that saying? That says that a witch, that anyone that's been involved in witchcraft has the curse of death on them. I didn't say that. That's what the Word said. And so if you've been involved in that area, you need to repent of it. And you need to ask God to forgive you. And we need to break the power of of death off of you. You see, I hear people talk every once in a while, we'll get on witchcraft, but they say, well, it's control. It's control through the power of the enemy, of the devil. And I have fought it so much that sometimes I say, Lord, your Scripture says, suffer witch not to live. I'm so tired of fighting that witchcraft. Now, Lord, I put them in your hands. Now, that's what your Scripture says. And people said, don't send curses back. I said, come walk in my shoes sometime and see the battles we have to fight. And I'm not lifting me up. I'm telling you, it's hell sometimes, fighting the witchcraft and the Satanism that comes at us because of deliverance. You say, well, I don't want no part of that. Too late. Too late. too late. You're sitting under deliverance station. And you've already been under it, and you're exposed. And the devil is afraid of you. He's afraid of you anyways, but he really gets afraid of you when you start fighting him. And you know, because my ministry is deliverance, I don't teach deliverance all the time at my church, but I do deliverance all the time. But when I go anywhere, I always teach deliverance. And I'll hear people say, and I'm saying this to you so you're going to know why I'm doing this, all she talks about is the devil. And everybody says, don't talk about the devil, you're giving him glory. Well, somebody's got to talk about him because he's been hidden under that pretense for forever. And until somebody comes and exposes his works, the works of darkness, he's still working.
Right.
And I was just thinking when Mel says I'll go that all the deliverance workers, you know, teach my hands to war and my fingers to do battle. I thought, oh, praise the Lord, Lord. Praise the Lord, and more deliverance workers. Because you see, there are people around you hurting. There's people in bondage because they don't know. And when we learn it, what does the word say? When you freely you've received, freely. And so, and then he said, finish that. He says, go in my name, cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. Well, have you raised any dead lately? You see, we'll take the healing of the sick because that's, you know, that's more or less accepted. But we kind of back off from raising the dead, but you know, Jesus said do it. And I'm a firm believer that everything he said to do, we can do. All we need to do is believe the word. And you better get your guns loaded with the word if you're going to do deliverance, because the Spirit of the Lord will bring it forth in you, and the enemy does not like the word. If you read Matthew 8:16, it said Jesus cast out demons with his word.
Amen.
And so it's the word that does the work. Over in Ezekiel chapter 13, I couldn't resist this scripture. I've got some tapes back there that I did on the soul. Many of them, I don't even remember all the titles of them. But after I was doing this on witchcraft, in Ezekiel 13, any of you that know anything at all about witchcraft know that the witches go after the soul of people. Do you not know that? You know that. Well, in Ezekiel chapter 13, it says in verse 18, said, and say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the heads of every statue to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? Did you hear what I just read? Will you hunt the souls of my people? It didn't say the word, the world's people. It said God's people. The witches don't go after the world. They try to destroy you and I. Because they want to render you ineffective for God. And so how do they do that? They curse you. They remove portions of your soul. The Lord gave me a teaching I did last week in our church on Ezekiel 18, verse 4 says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. And the Lord took me back over to Genesis in chapter 2. When God created Adam, he made him a living soul. And I always said he made him a living spirit. But the Word tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus came, the second Adam, and man became alive spiritually. And so the devil started after the soul in Genesis 2 because that was put in man from God. And man is, soul is his mind, his will, his emotions, and his heart. Look up. Dr. Noel went through the scriptures on soul and gave me, I have a book, I mean a book, of every word in the scriptures that relates to the soul. Because I was doing a lot of teaching on the soul and he did that for me and I really have appreciated it. So, to show you that if you'll run references on it, when it speaks of the heart, it says mind and the will and the emotion. So the enemy wants the soul, and he started in the garden because God had made man so perfect that he made in his image, and he was so smart that he named all the animals. And you know what? When I was teaching this, the Lord said he also named woman. Adam called woman, woman. He said because she was taken from men. He was so smart. And the devil wanted part of the soul, wanted his soul. That's the only way he could get at God's creation. And so he began to steal. And I, you know, the scripture said, oh Lord, I don't know how I got off on this. But anyway, I'll finish it this bit. He said in Ezekiel 18, verse 4, that the soul of the sinner, it shall die. Over in Romans 6:23, I think it's 6:23, said the wages of sin is death. So God said to the man, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. And you know, I always thought, well, I knew they didn't die just instantly, but I thought that death was separation from God there in the garden. But if you remember, even after they ate from the tree, that God came and walked and talked to them in the garden. So the man didn't die instantly, but over a period of time, he died. And that's what's happening to man today. This is what the Lord was showing me through the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Adam and Eve sinned. What did they do? They disobeyed God. He told them not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He didn't tell them not to eat of the tree of life. And when they disobeyed God and they partook of that tree, it gave Satan a right to attack them. And the soul that sinneth, you and I, when we sin and we don't take care of it instantly, it leaves an open door for the enemy to attack. The Word says a curse can't cause this to come. And you've got to have an open door for a curse to come upon you for the enemy to attack you. He can just walk in and take over. But you see, we sin. Mostly with that tongue. And so God is trying to, He wants to restore us back to where we were in the garden, where we can walk and talk with Him and fellowship with Him and have communion. We've heard so much on the teachings of fellowshipping with the Lord. But why do you not fellowship with God like you desire to? Because of what's been planted. Every time the enemy would take a part of your portion of your soul, he gives you something in to replace it. And so this brings death. Maybe not instantly, and I don't believe it's instantly. I believe it's continuously. You begin to die as the enemy begins to remove the soul. And the devil will talk you into dying. He'll come at you like, oh, just give up. You know. And it sounds so reasonable. And if you'll recognize that, you rebuke it. You say, you can get out of here. I know who you are. Witchcraft brings death. A curse of death. And over there when I showed you in Ezekiel 13, where the witches, that's what they're after from you is your soul. Because if they can get that, they can control you. My daughter-in-law, the very shy girl, and she had been in our church several years, and we didn't have a pianist. And we were singing a cappella. We had a little boy in there for a while that played the guitar, and he was Navy, and he had to leave. And one day I found out my daughter-in-law could play the piano. So I talked her into playing for us. And she did for years till they moved up into Tennessee. But she had been dedicated as a witch as a child. Long story, and I won't go into it. But what I want to tell you is that the spirits that came into her, we did deliverance on her. And as we were doing deliverance on her, the demons would say, I can play the piano. See, the devil took part of her soul and he gave her a spirit, and that thing could play the piano. Said, I can teach school. She homeschooled her children. He said, you throw me out and she won't be anything. I said, we'll chance it. And the Lord freed her, and she's got some of the sweetest children that do deliverance. They started, some of them 3 and 4 years old. People come into our church and say, why don't you get those children out of here? Oh, they shouldn't be here while you're doing deliverance. I said, you've got to be kidding. They have more faith than anybody else. So I'm telling you that the enemy wants to destroy you, and he'll begin by causing you to die. What happened to Adam and Eve? They began to die in the Garden of Eden. And so the enemy's after mind your soul, and this curse of death comes through witchcraft. And if you've ever been involved in it, you need to repent of it and close the door upon it. I didn't mean to get on the soul, but praise the Lord didn't. Now let's go over to Proverbs 6, and I've told them this many times, and Dr. Noel has, and all of us that do deliverance, but I want you to see in Proverbs in chapter 6 and verse 32 another curse. Verse 32 in Proverbs says, "Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroys his own soul." So, here we see also, going back to this Ezekiel 18, verse 4, it says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Well, when you commit adultery, when a person commits adultery, they bring themselves under a curse of death. And I'll give you another scripture on that in just a second. "So the wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be washed away." Now listen, ladies, I'm not trying to bring condemnation. I'm trying to bring help, okay? God has cleansed us from all of these things, but we need to get the root of the things out, get rid of them, so the enemy has no hold over us. I have more problems. I taught in my church one time on earrings. Y'all, I'm going to get stoned from this one, I know. And my daughter was there, and she had earrings, pierced ears. And she got so mad at me, she went out and put three in her ear. I'm not kidding. She came back and had three earrings in that. And I said, "What have you done?" She says, "Nothing on my earrings." You know why she was so mad? In her heart, she knew it was she shouldn't have those pierced ears on because of what the Word says. And I'll give a scripture on it if you want it. She said, "Mother, there's nothing wrong with them." I said, "You got a soul tie with the person that pierced your ears. You got a spirit of harlotry in there. And you open the door for the enemy to remove your soul. And rebellion is working." Harlotry. Rebellion, a soul tie with a person that pierces the ears. Soul tie with a person that, I've got someone here, I'd really like to give her testimony how God delivered her, but I won't do that right now. Cleopatra. There you go. Hosea tells you about it. Well, since I brought it up, let's go over there and look at it. Let me see if I can find it. Somewhere. Hosea chapter 2 talks about it. About Hosea decking herself with jewelry and going out. Hosea chapter 2 verse 13. Verse 12 says, "Now I will destroy her vines and her fig tree wherever she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord." So it's brings us into 2:13. Can I give you one more scripture?
Can you clarify just ear clips and earrings?
Can I give you a scripture? Chapter. Over in Genesis 34, I think it's 34, if I can find it. Yeah, 35, Genesis 35. Now, talking about pierced ears, and I'll be honest with you, though. I'm come to the conclusion, I wonder about just clip-on earrings. Now, that's between you and the Lord, but I wonder, because of the decking of ourselves with jewelry, I can't wear them. I haven't worn them since I learned about pierced earrings. I was in a deliverance service in Chicago, and my husband had given me a cutest, nicest pair of gold earrings, little tiny ones, and I just had my ears pierced. And I go up there, and there wasn't anybody in the church wearing earrings. And I thought, no, well, I it's okay. And I was sitting there, and they got on the earrings. And I got so mad. See, I knew. And I went down to the bathroom downstairs, and I was sitting, and I was fuming. I said, I hadn't worn earrings all my life because they hurt my ears if you use clip-ons. And so I finally pierced my ears and put them on, and here I am, and they tell me I need to get rid of them. I'm just not going to do it. And the Lord spoke to me and says, okay, keep them. But he didn't say it like I I mean, I knew what he was saying to me. And I said, yes, Lord. And I pulled them off. And when I went home, the first thing, my church, we had a big church at that time, said, where are your earrings? I said, gone. And, of course, I let them have it, too. I said, if I get your earrings, I'm going to tell you what the Lord said to me. He said, you do what you want to. But the thing is, my whole thing is, if we're women of God, do we need to be different from the world? God said, come out of the world. Come out of it. He says, come out of the... And be holy, for I'm holy. He said, well, stuff around my earrings. Well, that's when you're the Lord. I'm just telling you what the rebellion my daughter got in with the pierced ears. But in Genesis in chapter 34, in verse... let me start verse 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise and go to Bethel and dwell there and make them an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garment. And let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hands, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was at Shechem. So that was a scripture that the Lord, another one of the scriptures the Lord gave me. Of course, there's others on the cutting of the flesh and all this, but I'm not going into that because I do want to go on, and that's kind of a side trip. But I'll say this about any jewelry, pray and ask the Lord about it. Ask him to show you. You know, if you really want to know, God will show you. So, let's go on. I get into a lot of trouble when I do this, but I'm not saying it. It's what the Word says. And my job is just tell you. Okay? Let's go back to the witchcraft and show you what God thinks about it. And I know you know this, but you know Saul died because of consulting a witch. Why do you think today, in the First Chronicles chapter 10, why do you think today there's so much occult on TV call up a psychic and let her, whatever, it tell you what you want to know, instead of going to God? And in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13, says, so Saul died for his transgressions, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel for one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. Saul went to the witch of Endor. You know the scripture over in 1 Samuel 28. And sought counsel. And I wanted to bring this to you just simply to show you, if you have played with a Ouija board, if you have had your palms read, or any of those occult things, you are seeking knowledge other than from God. And you know, that is the root of a lot of physical things. I firmly believe that until we confess and get rid of those things we did that we didn't think anything was wrong with them. You know, I didn't mean anything bad. I just went to that fortune teller and just, you know, for the fun of it. Well, if she was a real witch, there was no fun there. And you were cursed, and your children were cursed, your grandchildren were cursed, and your great-grandchildren were cursed. And she did a job on you. And so we need to go and confess the sin. Lord, I did it in ignorance, but Lord, I know better, and I repent of it, and I ask you to forgive me, and I close the door on the devil there, and so he cannot have any hold over my life. Anything that would hinder us from being free, if you're having physical problems, I can't remember what it was, but when this on the earrings was first found, there was someone that received a big healing through being delivered from it. I read it in one of the books that I heard on the tape, and I can't remember who it was. That's where they really began to look into this area of the earrings. But anyways, in Leviticus, in chapter, I'm going to skip the rest of these on the familiar spirit. You know what a familiar spirit is? Works with a medium, which is a witch. and God calls it an abomination. But over in Exodus chapter 22 again, let's go to that scripture and read, "Whoso lies with a beast shall surely be put to death." Bestiality. You say, I've never done that, but what about the sins of your fathers? Do you know what they did? No, we don't know what they did. And, you know, I sometimes believe that a lot of the weight we get comes from it. I don't know that for a fact, but I wonder about it. Because every time I pray for somebody in the area of weight, I hear the Spirit saying, break the curse of bestiality. And so that's an abomination to God. And we need to repent. In Leviticus 26, it says that we need to confess the iniquities of our fathers and our own sin. Sometimes we get so busy confessing their sins, we forget about our own. But we need to confess both of them, because God says it has to be done. I go at it like this. Lord, I don't know what my forefathers did, but I confess that sin, because I don't know but what they didn't do it, and I want it off of me and my children.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.